Hello, it's Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 615 of the Willie's Experience podcast on sports on Earth. I'm Will Leach. I think you're spending part of your day with me. It is postseason time. I'm here with Allison Futter. Allison, how are you?
I'm great. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up, Will.
Wow, that is something I do not doubt. So, yes. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do like we did last year. We're going to do short little previews of each series. So just to put a bunch of downloads in your ears. We're going to start with a preview of the two wildcard games. But first off, any final thoughts from the last day of the season, Allison? Anything that jumped out at you other than because this wildcard preview is going to be hard for me because, of course, we're going to preview the Blue Jays-Orioles game. And in the National League, we will preview two other teams that are not the St. Louis Cardinals. It is weird. I'm actually looking forward to getting a lot of sleep. My only thing I'll say about the Cardinals, I'm looking forward. I'm obviously sad. It's frustrating. My children were very upset. And I feel like if you don't like Cardinal fans, how could people be upset at my cute children? That's the thing I'm trying with all the Deadspin people now. How can you be so mad? Come on, look at my kids. They're so cute. The whole idea, like, I'm sure warmongers and terrible people have trotted out cute children and tried to get away with their things like I'm trying to do. Anyway.
I guess for your case, because it's worse for you, right? Because you're a Cardinals fan and they miss the playoffs, and you're a Cardinals fan who people like know of and can contact on social media and can just throw it in your face. You have that on top of the normal mourning period that most people go through. You have to mourn publicly.
That's correct. Thanks. That's a very succinct way of putting it, Allison. Yes, that's exactly right. The good news of that, though, is we'll get into this in a later preview. But the good news is even though I don't stay up every night to watch the Cardinals, which means I'll get some sleep for once in October because of all the postseason success they've had, you see. But also, I have the strong rooting interest of rooting against the Cubs. So that is a
right
that I have. So that is my new mission in life. I will make that my new job. But anyway, we're going to talk about the Wild. So anything else jump away at you? Did you see the Vince Scully's last game? That was kind of nice.
So I didn't see it. I saw a little clip of his like final words. I think I was watching MLB Network. I was actually in Boston. So I was at Big Poppy's big weekend. Mm-hmm. And so I was like so thrilled. I was so thrilled to be there. There was so much going on. And I just have to say, you know, with David Ortiz, and there's a lot of superstars and a lot of like retiring athletes, and some of them are really great people. Some of them are publicly really great people and kind of annoying behind the scenes. For the most part, like our retiring superstars of late have been like very well-liked people, like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera.
Alex Rodriguez.
Right. So Alex Rodriguez didn't have the farewell tour. I was thinking more of like the farewell tour.
I know, I'm just kidding.
So David Ortiz is just like, so it's Friday, you know, and the team gets off of the road trip. He had done like 6 press conferences in a row pregame in every city he's gone to. And he's doing another one for the first game of the homestand against the Blue Jays. And he's exhausted. And he's still so compliant and genuine and kind and answered every question in English and Spanish. And he was pulled in a million different directions, and he's such a well-liked person and such a good person. And I have to say, and I'm not going to go on and on about this because I know we're previewing, but oh my goodness, they had 3 separate pregame ceremonies for him. And the first one was like the kids who have benefited from heart surgeries that they had because of the foundation that he has that gives money to these children who need these surgeries. They come running out on the field, you know, all this charitable work. The second day was like the Celtics and the Bruins. All the professional sports teams from Boston came out, and then survivors from the marathon bombing, you know, they're coming out on their prosthetic legs and their wheelchairs and embracing him. And then the last day was just like a total blowout. And I was like, you know, I'm so glad that we have people like David Ortiz because he makes our game so great. And it's so nice to know that good people did good things in the game. That's what I want to say.
Absolutely. I do not know a person that dislikes David Ortiz.
Yeah.
There's only one way I can imagine people starting to dislike him, and that's if he comes back. Like, this is the whole irony of it. Like, it's the guy that keeps saying, I'm leaving the party. I got to go. You're going to miss me. And so I think another reason that Vince Scully handled it so well by saying, I'm not going to do any playoff games. So now you know it's not every game is a big goodbye. I still feel like if the Dodgers make the World Series, he'll show up on the Fox broadcast. That's my little thing I think that will happen. But let's all hope that happens, because it'll mean the Cubs did not make the World Series. But anyway, let's do some previewing of the two wild card games. The first wild card game is Tuesday night in Toronto, another country. I didn't know why. I don't know when, Allison, we started letting other countries play America's game.
Seriously, did we build a wall?
I know. I'm serious. Yeah, we just forgot to get the north part and also the south part and also the idea that would make any sense at all. But we're going to start out at 8 o'clock Eastern time. It's the playoffs, so it's probably like 8:36 p.m. Eastern time. Baltimore Orioles playing at the Toronto Blue Jays is Chris Tillman against Marcus Stroman. Stroman was a little bit of a surprise. I think some people thought they might start Francisco Liriano because the Orioles have such trouble with left-handers and have a hard time not swinging pitches out of the strike zone, of which Liriano throws a lot. But they went with Stroman, which I guess I understand, even though I think he's on shorter rest. I'm curious. It's obviously predicting one game is impossible. Predicting five games is impossible. And the idea of this one game, when you've seen these teams throughout the year, this feels. I did these playoff dossiers for each team for Sports on Earth, and to me, the thing that really jumped out at me about Toronto is this is it. Man, like this is the you know, their core. Obviously Tulowitzki's gonna be back, and they've got, you know, and Donaldson's gonna be back. They've got a lot of good players. But that this Bautista Encarnacion core, which are really the two guys that have been good for Toronto, two of their best players in the history, they're both free agents after this year. They've all been kind of building up to this time. They came so close last year to make it to the World Series and didn't. This feels like a more pivotal thing for Toronto than it does for Baltimore. If Baltimore loses this game, hey, they overachieved all year. That's really impressive, and that's a bummer. But you know, a heck of a season. Buck Showalter's awesome. But for Toronto, if they don't even make it to the out of the wild card game, it feels like there could be a reckoning there.
Yeah. It sort of seems, I mean, Toronto seems like the more, I don't know, because I think like Toronto has like the more talented team, right? But that's just because I feel like I like their pitching more, and it doesn't really matter in one game. It's just if I like that pitching more. And so I don't really know how to handicap a single game. I think that if Baltimore makes it, you know, if they win that game, I don't really give them much of a shot to advance deep into the postseason for the reasons that we've talked about all year. So I don't really, you know, I was trying, before we started this conversation, I was trying to think like, I mean, I just come off of watching them three games. They looked pretty good against the Red Sox, especially in the last two games. But they are also a team that can be very handcuffed offensively, which they were in Boston a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like an evenly matched team, but what does it matter? It's one stupid game. So it doesn't matter how they match up, right? It matters how the starting pitchers do, or I guess how the bullpens do. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fun too, because you know, one of the things sometimes you see managers utilize this and sometimes you don't, but the way you could remember, they get to have a specific roster just for this one game, which for me just feels like you have like five guys that can run really fast. No more than like seven or eight pitchers, because a ton of pitchers you know aren't going to pitch. Like you know, Sanchez isn't going to pitch. He just pitched yesterday. So, you know, so to me, that gives you a lot of freedom and flexibility to do kind of weird things. My thing with the Orioles, and the reason I feel like, again, you're right, predicting one game is dumb. But hey, we're here. It's a podcast. We already have your downloads, people. Our foolishness is too late for you to stop us. But when it comes to Baltimore, Toronto, the thing that's funny is the reason that Toronto has gotten to this point, everyone thought they were just going to bash through everybody like they did the last 2 months of last season. But you're right. It's been their rotation all year. And Baltimore's got their best pitcher going. They have two things that I think will work well in the playoffs and specifically can work well in one game, which is they have power, which is people always talk about, no, it's situational hitting. No, it's not. Not in the playoffs. It's power. And it's the bullpen. Like, really, all they got to do is get this game to, like, the seventh inning, and they win. So as much as it's dumb to predict one game, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, and I'm predicting Baltimore.
I just think it's going to be, like, really hard to win in Toronto for Baltimore. That place is going to be loud. Yeah. I mean, they are – I don't know. They have such an advantage, I think, the Blue Jays. They have such a thing going there in Toronto. So I just – I really don't know how to handicap that, so I feel like I just need to give it the advantage to the team that's playing at home for no other reason except it's impossible to decide to figure out what they're going to do in one game.
So clearly, you're risking your reputation on your pick of Toronto. Got it. Okay, we go to the Wednesday, October 5th, Wednesday night game, 8 p.m., San Francisco Giants at the New York Mets. I think that's who's playing. I don't even remember. I haven't even seen the standings in weeks. This, of course, sets up the way that It's funny. I was going through the Giants for a team that had to play down to the very last day and win every single game this weekend. Their rotation lines up perfectly. They've got Bumgarner in this game, and then he gets to be rested up to pitch game three. And the Mets, listen, it's really impressive. They've really been pretty awesome for the last month. To be fair, they've been playing the Twins and the Phillies and the Braves every day, but they've really been impressive for the last month. You look at this team, they seem built for a one game playoff and nothing else. They're going to have the Gilsman or whatever his name is. The guy's last name starts with a G and an S. If they make it to the end, which makes no sense. I think that's just a mistake. If they make it to the NLDS, they have nothing. Like the lineup is full of injuries. The rotation is really nothing behind Syndergaard and Colon, I guess. The Giants seem to me like a much better team, but this, you put these two, this is Bumgarner against Syndergaard. That's really the only thing that really matters in this game.
Oh, you know the Giants are going to win this game. I mean, not only are the Giants going to win this game, because they've been so bad for so long. They were bad the entire second half. They never snapped out of it except for this past weekend. So you know they're going to end up in the World Series. You know they're going to end up somehow getting there. I mean, I'm being a little facetious. Right. But
I know what you mean.
This is such a crazy year where we're like, oh, yeah, the Mets only have two good starters. How far could they get? Honestly, in this season that we have been watching, they can probably get all the way to the final game seven of the World Series. I mean, I am looking, I'm like, okay, well, the Rangers, I mean, they don't suck. You know, you're looking at playoff teams and trying to figure out why they're actually good. And so all of everything to me flies out the window. I don't think there's any doubt Madison Bumgarner is going to win that game. There's no doubt the Giants are going to sneak in somehow, and they're going to annoy the crap out of everybody because they're just going to, all of a sudden, they're going to figure out how to be a good baseball team again. Watch it happen. Yeah. Let's watch.
If that happens, man, if the Giants, I think we've got a long way until we get to that point, but if the Giants make the World Series, it definitely assures that this is the, if they win the World Series, this is the weirdest dynasty in the history of baseball. They would have won four championships in the last 7 years with, I would argue, not even one of the top five teams in baseball that in each of the 4 years. Maybe 2012, that team was pretty solid. But 2014 was barely a wild card team. They just rode Bumgarner the whole way. This team fell apart until the most inconvenient time for them to do so for me personally. And the 2010 team felt wobbly as well. And yet they would have four World Series titles in the last 6 years. To me, it's not the every other year thing. It's the fact that they have the best postseason pitcher of the last 25 years and will be able to use him all the time. And also, this Mets team is really not very good. They look like a worse team than Mets. I'll put it this way. If the Mets and, say, the Yankees played a five-game series or a seven-game series right now, I would absolutely pick the Yankees. If the Mets,
100%,
if the
sure.
If the Mets and, like, Braves played a five or seven game series right now, I would seriously consider the Braves. Not and the Braves have come on. That's kind of what I mean by that. But that is, like, I know the Mets have won a lot of games, but I just look at that roster. It just looks junky. Jay Bruce has come around a little bit, but again, he's going to be neutralized by Bumgarner. To me, I think it's a clear Bumgarner and Giants pick in the wild card game.
100%. I mean, 100%. Yeah. I don't know that there's anything. And you know, the Giants will get in, they'll get down a couple games in a series, and then Hunter Pence will do his crazy haired, crazy eyed Newt Rockne kind of speech. And then everything will be that, you know, it's all going to fall into place for them. It's all going to, it just does. It does.
It's kind of annoying, actually. Yeah. but no, everybody hates the Cardinals. Everybody loves the Giants. Oh, the Giants are so likable. Everybody loves the Giants. But nobody hates the anyway. I don't hate. Listen, I have no problem with the Giants either. It's just always a little baffling to me that this team that is basically like does the thing that everybody always says the Cardinals are doing: gets in the postseason, gets really lucky, has all these great things happen. All these things that people are accusing the Cardinals of doing, the Giants in fact do them. But for some reason,
it's just that the Cardinals, the knock on the Cardinals is that they do all that and they're really smug while they're doing it.
That is literally not true. That is something that comes from the outside. Like, I'm just saying that's not an actual thing. Like, I know that people claim that, but that is not an actual thing that exists. Anyway, that's all right. I'm still in the morning. All right, so this is the only time we're going to do this last section all week, because we're going to be doing a few of these on different days, and therefore some of the forecasts will be coming a few days early. But as you know, at the end of every podcast, we run it through the 538 election forecast polls plus forecast. Since that shit show on last Monday night and everything that's happened since then, the odds have twisted quite a bit.
You think?
But that said, so we went from Roger Hornsby level batting average. Remind everyone, we look at the polls plus forecast, and we look at the percentage chance that Donald Trump would become the president of the United States. The odds of a certain baseball player getting a hit right now, according to Fab 38 polls plus forecast, Donald Trump has a 31.3% chance of becoming president of the United States, which is the exact same, which is what it is of Mike Trout getting a base hit.
See, I need this to get to the point where his chances to win the presidency are the same as Stubby Clapp getting a base hit.
Yeah, Stubby Clapp is like 44 now. So, yeah, I think need to do is we need to get down to at one point we were down. I started this because I was on Jonah Carey's podcast and he was talking about the election. I said, well, listen, because he was like, well, there's no way Trump's going to win, right? And I'm like, well, he's probably not going to win right now. And at that time, 538 had him at 21.3% odds. I was like, oh, well, the odds are, as much as you might think 21.3, that's really low. That's the odds of Madison Bumgarner, everybody's favorite hitting pitcher, of getting a base hit. So it could happen. And ever since then, it's gone up, 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 up. But now we've actually gotten low enough that it's Mike Trout. So that's exciting. All right, Allison, we'll be back tomorrow with two podcasts. We will be previewing the Boston Red Sox, Cleveland Indians, American League Division Series, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Washington Nationals in LDS. So, Allison, as always, music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes, and we'll be back tomorrow. I'll talk to you then, Allison.